You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Tim, the stock markets seem to be wandering around right now. They don't seem to know if they want to go higher or lower.
Yeah, and obviously I think that's a function of the so-called news. And when I say so-called news, you know, we have talked about this before, I think. I've certainly talked about it, and I'm sure I've talked about it with you. But, you know, it's reminiscent going back, I'm sure we discussed it then, of 2018-19. We saw this again back in April of last year, well, April of 25, to be clear, with the tariffs. You know, back in 18, I remember it went on for over a year. We got a deal. No, we don't have a deal. Yeah, we got a deal. No, we don't have a deal. Oh, somebody just walked out of the meeting and said that, you know, it looks good. No, we don't have it. And they jerked the market around like a yo-yo going into that 2020 top for over a year with tariff news. And then if you'll remember, back in April of 25, the market had begun to decline in, you know, pretty significantly into that, what turned out to be, I believe, a four-year cycle low. And when the pain got too great, what happened? Oh, well, we got a deal on the tariffs. We're taking the tariffs off. Well, we're going to do a moratorium. Whatever, just more bullshit after bullshit after bullshit about, you know, the tariff news. And that's what we're seeing here. The only other person I know that sees this and has been talking about it, and maybe there's other people, I'm not saying that there's not, but it doesn't mean the dots don't seem to be connecting with too many, is Gerald Celente. He is beside himself about what he's seeing with the market and how they're using the news to manipulate this thing. Mm. You know, and I had said in one of my newsletters, I guess it was a March letter right after this all started, that on the one hand, this, you know, looking at it strictly from, you know, the market perspective, this war in the news, it was in the short term, you know, it let a little air out of the bag, but then it was a reinflation tool. Said it would be a reinflation tool, and they would use that until they couldn't, and then it would become a cover story. And I stick to that statement from a market perspective. This is all part of I've proven throughout history, and like Richard Russell used to say, they have to inflate or die. We have to have inflation, in other words. And to generate the inflation, you have to have some kind of stimulus, and the stimulus here is higher oil prices. Back during COVID, it was, I don't remember what oil prices did specifically during COVID, but we had the supply chain issues, again, generating the inflation, and you know, to inflate or die. And that's the essence of it. That's the essence of it. That's what we're seeing again here. And I do remember what happened with oil prices back during, I had a brain cramp during COVID. Remember they collapsed and crude oil went to zero. Remember that?
Yeah, it was negative for one day.
Yep.
Or they would pay you to buy a barrel of oil.
Yeah, right.
So when we're in a situation like this, are we just supposed to invest in the oil companies? And they have learned if you create a shortage, they make more money. So they have no incentive really to go out and look for new crude.
Well, yeah, if you look at something, looking at crude oil, I want to look at a chart real quick of, it's been a few days since I looked at, some of these oil companies, but yeah, ExxonMobil, looking at it, it is not confirming structurally what we had seen with crude oil prices, or specifically with gasoline prices. It's just, you know, it's kind of like a non-confirmation, if you will, between the stock and what we're seeing with the raw commodity. But looking, what's interesting is looking at crude oil versus gasoline prices. And I heard in the news that, record, the oil companies were experiencing record profits here, right? I heard a little blurb. Well, that kind of makes sense because, or actually, it makes absolute sense because, you know, crude oil is, I'm looking at a chart now, is well below the $147 level that we saw back in 08. Yet, gasoline prices are, they were a good bit above the spike high that we saw back in 08. So the two don't compute. So I don't believe there is an actual shortage. I think that, like I said, this is, I can't say the word on air, but this is, well, I'll say it, Fukari. It's Fukari. That's what we're seeing. It is an effort to reinflate, and in doing so, the oil companies are, I agree, are making record profits. It's not about a shortage.
Right. So for investors, do you stay in oil, and will the world say in the short term, people must be looking at buying electric vehicles if gasoline prices are going to remain high like this, even when the price of oil comes down?
I don't know about the electric vehicle thing. Listen, and I can't give advice about investing in oil, but here's the conflict. On the one hand, we have this, and I stick to this because I see the data, and I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to change. It is what it is, and there's no two ways about it. It's ironclad. The globe, the world is facing this downturn out of this long-term economic cycle. That is a fact, and it's been going on and on and on and on. And we've talked about this. It first tried to turn down in 07, 08, 09. It was saved. We saw another downturn with the COVID top. It was saved. We get to a weak spot here where it starts trying to turn down. We get the war. And so the dilemma, if you will, is that on the one hand, we have the natural forces trying to deflate the economic deflation that is trying to take hold. On the other hand, we have these efforts by the money masters, the powers that be, trying to hold this thing together. And part of that is the generation of inflation, just like we saw coming out of the 07, 08, 09 decline. We saw the QE programs. Those were efforts to create the inflation, everybody talked about the government spending. It's really the creation of government debt, creating inflation, government spending as a result of the debt to pull us out of that slump. The same thing happened following COVID. This time it's happening here at the top before we even got the downturn. They didn't even let it happen. And we're seeing it, like I said, from the financial perspective with the war, with this war news, trying to keep things up, keep oil prices up. This is all inflate or die, as Richard Russell used to say. So there's this tug of war, if you will. On the one hand, you know, the cyclical structure suggests that there should be major lows in the commodity markets ahead. On the other hand, you have this defiance, if you will, against that cycle with what's going on globally. And I think that the timing of this is impeccable. It shows, I think, an awareness of what's going on, that and that we are at a critical point, and an effort to try to, like I said, hold it, to reinflate. Now, it's not conspiracy. You can see it in the charts. And it's a historical fact. I mean, if you go back, I have proven, if you go back and look, even as far back as like the energy crisis in the 70s, the early 70s, you know, that was coming out of, that happened in conjunction with the, with the decline into the bear market bottom in 74. There's always, there's no question, you always see these key events like this, and a reinflation or an acceleration, I should say, a reinflation attempt and an acceleration of government spending at critical market junctures. That's the dilemma here. There's two forces working against each other.
We'll have more with Tim Sicklesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Sicklesman Wood. Tim, what's going on with the precious metals?
Well, they're slowly trying to turn down out of some longer-term cycles, and so far that downturn is intact. You know, whether there's going to be something come along to save the precious metals market, I don't know. But right now, the structure looks like that we have, short and intermediate degree top obviously in place. With the weakness we're seeing, I had intermediate term sell signals, since the spike high back in January, looking at my chart right now. So the little spike that we saw back into March, it did not trigger an intermediate term buy signal. I've been on an intermediate term sell signal since. And you know, there's also a short-term sell signal, and until that changes, I have to remain bearish, cautious on gold. Now, that said, if we were to see this downturn with equities that is trying to take hold, and let me explain something. A while ago, I said that there were these opposing forces, or however I worded it. And what I meant is the on the one side of the equation, we have the natural forces that are trying to deflate out of these long-term cycles and this fabricated expansion that we've seen. And then on the other hand, we have the continuation of the fabrication, and trying to hold it. So, that's the two opposing forces. But anyway, now back to gold. If this nut cracks and we see the downturn in the natural forces, or once the natural forces went out, and they ultimately will, I mean, the cycle cannot go unexpressed. And it has to run its course. Now, they can extend it as they have been, and they've done a masterful job, hats off to them, at managing and manipulating this and holding it together. But you can't deny it. And so it's kind of like I would equate it to stretching a rubber band. You stretch it and you stretch it and you stretch it and you stretch it and you go, man, this thing can't stretch anymore. And you stretch it. Eventually it's going to snap. And when it snaps, it's going to snap. And when that snap occurs, what I'm saying is, as negative as I am long term from that perspective on the economy and the equity market and that sort of thing, I do think gold is going to be a casualty of this as well, but I don't think it's going to be hit as near as hard as equities themselves. So I think it is, it's not immune, but it's from the work that in my analysis, it's a lesser of the evils as far as, the downside that should ultimately result from that downturn.
Copper, what's the story there?
I don't follow copper closely. But it has a 9-year cycle that ebbs and flows, just like gold and silver. I just pulled up a chart as you're looking, or as you were talking, and we've talked about this before. There was a 9-year cycle low in 22 in gold. There was a 9-year cycle low in 22 in copper. In the case of copper, we've made recent highs into this month. And the 9-year cycle advance there is still alive. So, gold is showing relative weakness from that perspective with copper. But so far, the 9-year cycle advance in copper, looking at the chart, is definitely still alive. That's maybe one thing we want to look at. It looks like gold, looking at this, is obviously leading at what may be a 9-year cycle top. And so one thing to maybe pay attention to is if we see a crack with copper where it looks like it makes a significant turn. And, you know, in my world, if I saw, you know, structure of a intermediate or longer degree top, then it would look like gold, copper would be joining the party and then confirming a downturn in gold. So that's something we could look at on an ongoing basis if you'd like.
Now, Tim, we're looking at the stock markets and equity markets, the commodity markets. What about what I call the Main Street market? What's happening with the real economy?
Well, the real economy, I mean, at least here, what I see where I live, listen, I live in one of the highest growth areas in the country, and people are moving here. I mean, if I'd have known the growth it was going to be, that we were going to see here years ago when I moved here, I would not have moved here. And I'm seeing it slow down. I mean, yes, houses are still selling, but I talked to some construction people. You know, they're still busy because of the volume, but that volume, in other words, there's a pool out there, an inventory of work to be had still, but that inventory, I think, is shrinking. Some of the home improvement places, I talked to people, and they're saying that they're not seeing the traffic. So I think that things are slowing. I know I have a connection with some of the car world, with some of the aftermarket hot rod stuff, and certain segments of that is also slowing. So I think there is a cooling of the economy. But what, you know, looking at it, going back to, you know, the stimulus that we're seeing and trying to hold this thing together, it's kept them calm, and so far there's been no stampede, but there is a softening from what I see.
Hmm. So overall, Tim, how would you describe what's going on? Hot stock market still, but a slowing economy?
Absolutely, and I think I think one of the keys is interest rates. You know, interest rates are. We entered a rate cutting cycle back in September of 24. Let me look. I may be misspeaking. My brain's not working the best today, for some reason. Let me look at that and just confirm. Yeah, I know it was September of 24, and I didn't want to misspeak. Yes, it was September. That I was a little fuzzy on. Yes, it was September. And that rate cutting cycle had, you know, continued. There was a long plateau period in last year in 25, and then that rate cutting cycle continued into December of this year. Since then, rates have plateaued again. They've just flatlined. Long term, I think we're still within this rate cutting cycle. Nothing has changed there. Nothing at all. I think short-term rates are going back to virtually to zero. But in the interim, we have a 3-year cycle in bonds, and I'm talking about the long bond now, and bond prices. So to clarify, bonds and interest rates move in opposite directions. So as we move down into this 3-year cycle low, that is due later this year on the long bond, interest rates have turned up. And so that upward turn that we've seen recently, I think that is counter trend. And, you know, it's occurring. They're pointing to the inflation, which I'm not denying the inflation at all, but that's the cover story. What it really is this decline into this cycle. And then once that low is in place, it bonds turn up, the pressure will then be back on the interest rates, and I think that's when the deflationary pressures will resume, and that'll be a kind of a window for this, you know, where the pressure on the equity market, I think, will also see resume as well. So yep. Anyway, I think that the long story short, the deflationary pressures are still there. Right now, we're kind of at a standstill.
Is the bond market a reflection of the world economic state right now?
I think if you know how to look at the yield curve and read what I just said and understand what the rate cutting cycle overall is telling you, yes, I believe that. And I guess that's what I was trying to say in other terms. I agree with you. Short answer is yes.
Tim, anything else you think we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
No. I know it's hard to stay focused on the long term, the big picture. I get that. It's gone on and on and on. But, nothing has changed. And in fact, the more I look, the more I study, the more research I do, the more I dig into this, the more analysis. I mean, you learn. It's constant. Every day and certainly every year, your knowledge, you're always a student of the markets, as they say, no matter how long you look at the markets and how long your career is with this, you're always learning. And the thing that I'm saying here, is that the more I look, the more convinced I am at where we are, how fragile this situation really is, and at the same time, I'm also amazed at how well of a job they've done at trying to hold and extend this. But I go back to what I said a while ago in the interview. The cycle will express itself. It has to. There's never been a long-term economic cycle. I mean, nothing goes straight up, nothing goes straight down. It ebbs and flows. It can be distorted, it can be extended, and yes, they can influence it, but they're not going to stop it. And so, in the end, it will set up. Now, that setup is trying to take hold. There are some of the boxes are checked, but they're not all. They're fighting the battle, and they're doing a damn good job of it. And, from my seat, I will see the setup. The boxes slowly will check, and when they do, it'll be what it'll be, and I think we'll see that cycle express itself. For now, all we can do is watch and understand what's going on, and watch the developments as they occur, and that's what I'm covering in the research letter. So, anyone interested in that, I have a pretty good roadmap to it, I think, and that's what we're doing is watching the setup.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, thanks for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.